Hey, Gates, it's really great to be with you again and have another podcast. What would you like to chat about today?
Well, thanks, Jim, for having me. It's good to know people are tuning in to listen to our podcast. What I thought we would talk about today is a couple of recent pieces of research and news articles that have come out around the future of online learning, and in particular, some research that's come out recently around who's enrolling in online programs, where are they coming from, and what does that tell us about the future of online learning? So we'll send this around with the podcast, but Sean Gallagher, who has been an observer of online learning for many, many years and has a strategy position at Northeastern University, wrote an interesting article in EdSurge entitled "The Beginning of a New Era in the Online Degree Market." And just to quickly summarize, and then we'll jump into the topic at hand, really, is a couple of key points that came out of his perspective. So, about 3 million students pursue higher education in fully online programs, representing about a $20 billion market. That's only about 15% of all higher education enrollment in the U.S., but it's an area that continues to see growth. As we've articulated in several of our interactions and discussions, there is that growth in fully online. There is also the growth for students who enroll in some of their courses online, but are enrolled in on-campus programs, and that portion is also a high growth area. And I think what's interesting about the point that Sean makes is quoting some research that has been done by a company called The Learning House, was that more than 75% of online students in the market today enroll at an institution located within 100 miles of their homes.
I saw that. So, that particular statistic struck me because the kind of research that we've done, although not totally complete, seems to indicate that a lot of our folks go outside, especially out of state. That kind of puzzled and concerned me a little bit that we had the opposite.
To me, it highlights the opportunity, right? And it's the one that we've been, I think, harping on throughout the Digital Learning Initiative project is in the state of North Carolina, while there are, a number of, or, you know, thousands of students, I think our estimates have ranged between 40 and 50,000 students who are enrolled in online programs that are not at the University of North Carolina or within the system of University of North Carolina. Many of those institutions are located, further than 100 miles away.
Right.
When you look at the enrollment dynamics for an Arizona State University or Southern New Hampshire or for a Liberty, they certainly have enrollment from across the country. But even those quote national universities, as Sean Gallagher calls them in this article, really are enrolling primarily from within their regions. And so this dynamic of a quote national presence is an interesting one. And just to sort of transition a little bit into the pieces and implications for the UNC system that I think is most relevant is this dynamic of creating a local, a strong local connection, even though the learning may be delivered online. The Southern New Hampshire and LRNG recent merger is an illustration of this fact, where Southern New Hampshire is coming together with LRNG, which is another nonprofit, and those organizations are merging together in order to create a local presence in the communities that LRNG operates, its workforce development and youth development programs in a site-based model. So this is where the online world and the on-premise world are colliding.
Yes.
The piece that I think that's so interesting for the state of North Carolina to really think about is if you think about the local presence of community hospitals and health centers, of community colleges, of our 16 four-year institutions, the state is blanketed with facilities and locations that are installments, fixtures of the community, yeah, and key partners in local workforce development.
No, I think you're absolutely right. And that's one of the areas that I've kind of struggled with because, you know, from my past experience years ago as a faculty member, I think there's so much benefit from being in the same room, breathing the same air, as well as the student services, the active advising, et cetera. And that while we want to make this as much online as possible to make it convenient and cost effective, there's always in the back of my mind, how can we tie it to the local community so they can get some local support, not only with practicums, but, you know, a shoulder to ask questions against. So I think that makes a lot of sense, the fact that we do have such a large footprint across the state of North Carolina.
I think the question is, how do you make best use of that footprint, that physical, yeah, presence footprint? And if you think about the adult learner, maybe they have some credit but no degree. You know, the folks who are most underserved in the system today, as we've been talking about throughout this project, you know, typically they're not able to attend class during the normal times that class might be offered. And for those that are have families and so forth, attending class even in the evenings is a very hard proposition. So providing the learning experiences in an online format,
right,
where those students receive the instruction that they need in a high quality way and an interactive way, and the extent to which it's you know, supplemented with adaptive learning features or other interactive elements, that meets the flexibility need of that student. But they do need the face-to-face interactions at times that can work for them. And that might be on Saturdays or, you know, mm-hmm, late in the evenings.
Right.
And the extent to which any of the healthcare degrees that we're thinking about as part of this require clinical and practical experiences, again, the network of ground-based institutions that we have throughout the state have to be on the front lines of delivering those learning experiences.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that there's an opportunity here where we partner with the community colleges or others in the local community to provide some of that support, especially since we may be sharing some of these students. But the other thing, and this is where I think the innovation comes in, you know, you see stores do pop-up stores within malls, within stores, where specialty brands pop up. You know, maybe we do that, where in some of these rural counties, we do pop-up support services on the weekends. We may not have something there, you know, all week long, but on the weekends, we set up in the community colleges or the local library or somewhere else where we can give that face-to-face human interaction with some of our students.
I think that's where we should continue to do more work as we build out the business plan around this initiative, and you know, look forward to having more of those conversations with folks in this particular arena, right, in the healthcare arena, to think about how we make use of and partner with you know, those key institutions that are already in place and have a strong presence in the state.
Right. Let me just go back to something you said earlier about these national brands and online. And, you know, first off, I have the utmost respect for all of these folks. I think they do great quality work and they're serving lots of students out there. But most of them, while they might be considered a national online brand right now because they've been kind of first to market, they're traditional universities themselves are not really national brands. They're at best regional brands. Do you kind of see what I'm saying there?
Meaning like Arizona State in its traditional sense, you know, is a public institution in the state of Arizona, students in the Western.
Yeah, you know, Arizona, Liberty, you know, Southern New Hampshire. I mean, I don't necessarily consider any of those national brands, like a Chicago, a Stanford, or even some of the UNC schools. Admittedly, some of our schools are more regionally based, but then, you know, out of the 16, we do have some that are truly national, if not international brands. And so I guess what I'm leading, and, you know, the witness here to talk about is, does that, while we're late to the game in some respects, does the fact that in part we do have a real national brand help us make up for lost ground?
I absolutely think that the collective strength and awareness and recognition of the UNC system broadly and its institutions is a huge untapped strength as we think about this initiative. I think so. I'm excited about that, and I think, you know, as we're working right now, Jim, to build out this business plan, we're trying to think through, you know, what the awareness building campaign is going to look like as we think about acquiring, you know, students and enrolling students in new ways and at rates that we have not done before. Thinking about the strength of the UNC brand and the impact that it has is front and center to us as we're building out this forecast. But, you know, I don't want to overestimate that potential. And I think the important thing is to remind ourselves that we're enrolling a different kind of a student.
Indeed.
In this program. And so while the 16 institutions target different kinds of students and serve different markets, and all have varying levels of awareness and brand recognition, I think what we're talking about here is going after a student that wouldn't have thought about enrolling in many of the schools that are in the system today. If we're effective with this initiative, that's exactly what we will be doing. And so to a certain extent, you will be building a brand with that audience, you know, despite the strength, the collective strength of
right.
The brand that we have today.
Well, I both agree and disagree with you. I'd agree with your premise here and that we have to be real careful. And we can't count on this national brand that we have being a halo. I would disagree with the statement, if we're effective, we're going to be effective, thanks to Titan Partners and the rest of the
board. Of course, yes, of course. We will be effective. Sorry, so, thanks, you know, for the correction.
I know we're running limited on time, but I would like to get your opinion on one item in the article, which talked about, you know, aligning with local and regional workforce needs. What are your thoughts there?
Yeah, and you know, it's interesting, right? Because I think the article, and it specifically relates to a quote that the CEO of LRNG made related to this partnership between Southern New Hampshire and LRNG. I think it's exciting to think about what they're doing, but in some respects, you know, aligning to local workforce needs is something that collectively the higher education system of North Carolina has been doing for the people of North Carolina for a long time. I think these kinds of new entrants, so to speak, or new partnerships that are being created, it was mentioned, you know, the 2U partnership with WeWork Spaces is another example, are just examples of new entrants into an activity that the system has been engaged in for a long time. I think that is important to recognize, that it will not be as easy to do the work that the system has done over the years with workforce partners and employers in the state, because there will increasingly be more options. So I think it's as much of a continued call to watch out and to be on top of the state's game, so to speak, as it mm-hmm. relates to connecting the goals of the higher education system with the goals and needs of the workforce and the employer community in the state and in the region.
Now that's real good. We're looking forward to getting more of that employment data and job posting data from you and the ROI information, and then really making a plan of attack where we talk with many of those local employers in those targeted counties that we're interested in, and really making tight alliances and partnerships with them in order to meet their needs, as well as the needs of the local community, as well as make this initiative very successful.
Great. Thanks again for the time, Jim, and I hope people enjoy the podcast. Have a great weekend.
Okay, same to you. Take care, Gates.
Bye. Bye-bye.